I guess I'm still talking on prayer, technically, but it's a. I finished at least my run of things that I was going to talk, had intended to cover in prayer. And it just seems like a few days after the last message, the Lord begins to speak on another topic that I just can't get away from on prayer, that I just then go, well, we just have to talk about that now. So literally what it is that is just continually been pressed upon my heart to talk about tonight is the listening aspect of prayer. It's an art and it's a skill, and it's one that we fail often to emphasize. We emphasize our conversation, but we rarely emphasize the listening to God and talk about it in enough ways so that people know that that is the most important part of the whole prayer. So it really is the most important part, because that's where the testimony comes from. If it's not for listening, I believe then it's just a one-sided conversation, and it's very, very empty at best. And any miracles or any breakthroughs that we may experience, I think it's just coincidence. It's just coinkydink, and that's it. And so listening is what is on my heart. Turn with me to Isaiah 55. I like Isaiah 55 just because of the spiritual tone of this prophetic word. And I think it captures the heartbeat of the message pretty appropriately. And in Isaiah 55, it begins, which one am I reading from? I'm reading from the New King James Version tonight. Isaiah 55 starts in verse 1. It says, "Ho, everyone who thirst, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy?" Maybe your translation says it in a different way. I know some more common vernacular would probably say it in this way. Don't spend your money on things that don't satisfy, and don't waste your wages on things that don't really profit you. Let your soul, and then it goes on, it says, "Listen carefully to me. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good." I love that. "And let your soul delight itself in abundance." So listen carefully to God. And this is in direct contrast. This is teaching us something. What is the fruit or the goal of listening to God? So that your soul will be satisfied. You don't come on Wednesday nights just to hear Pastor Ben talk. Hopefully Pastor Ben is speaking as one from the Lord, and you're really hungry and thirsty to hear the voice of the Lord. If you don't hear the voice of the Lord, then don't listen here. Go somewhere else. New Life's got a great pastor out there. Go out there. So, you know, Elevation got a good guy over there. I like him. Maybe God speak over there. It's not the pastor. It's the voice of the Lord that we're listening for, right? And you go and you obey and you listen and you listen intently. Why? Because that's what satisfies. That's what satisfies. That's where our focus is at. And so it says, "And your soul will delight itself in abundance." Verse 3 says, "Incline your ear and come to me." Lean in and listen to the Lord. Why? "Hear and your soul shall live." I'm telling you, this is so good. "And I'm going to make an everlasting covenant with you." And it goes on to say all these different things. And it's just so good. So good. In verse 10, I know you've probably heard this many times, but it's so good to now think about verse 10 in the context of hearing God. listening and hearing God's voice, hear what verse 10 says. It says, for as the rain comes down in the snow from heaven, and it doesn't return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void or pointless or empty, but it will accomplish what I please. It will prosper in the thing for which I sent it. This is so good. I just love this. But do you recognize how Isaiah 55, this is coming from a prophet who trained kings. This guy, he's speaking and he's saying, the most important thing for you to learn is to learn to listen to the voice of the Lord. I think that's the perfect message for a prophet to say, isn't it? Hey, listen to me. I'm speaking for God, and that's the most important thing you should do. And it's exactly the message he should be saying, and it's the one that we need to hear in our Christian life, and especially as we talk about prayer. When I look at those words, listen diligently in 55:2, incline your ear, hear, so that you can live. You know, all of those words, that listen diligently, it's really just one word. It's really one word in the original language there, and it just means hearken, and almost like a command, like come to attention and really be alert. So it's think of like an officer or someone like that in the military, the minute, you know, called a reveille or whatever it is, you know, and everybody runs around, whatever it is, snap to attention. And that's that listen diligently. Same concept, incline your ear, listen to me. Those things, oh, it's so good. So I kind of said the reason earlier why it is that I feel like this is important, but I heard this story of this young pilot. And this young pilot had practiced, did all of his, you know, hours where he was with an instructor and all that kind of stuff. And then it got time for him to do his. And when he went up into his plane for his solo flight and he did his stuff and everything like that, everything was going great. And then it got time for him to get instructions for landing and coming in to land and everything. And he was obviously very nervous and all these things. And he went and he radioed the tower. And, you know, whatever his little number was, you know, this is, you know, plane 5427W, blah, 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 coming in, blah, blah, blah. And he gives this whole long thing, and then no response. And he had, like, no response. And he's going, this is plane 5-something-something-something, coming in, where am I, mayday, who's there? And he begins, and he's slowly panicking more and more because he's like, maybe I'm off. I don't know where I'm at and all that kind of stuff. And as he's grown, this goes on for quite some time. He's really stressed. He's sweating. And then he realizes in his anxiety and his chaos of the moment, he never took his finger off the call button. So then he lifts up his finger and he suddenly hears the tower. Plane, blah, 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 blah. It's like, and they had been talking and responding the whole time. He had never stopped transmitting to hear. And I think that's so important for us because often we talk to God and pray. Why? Because there's a lot that we've got to explain to him. He needs to know a lot. Because we have things that we need to supplicate on and petition. So, boy, I can't wait to get to prayer because my list has grown today. And so, and then hopefully time allows and we get through everything that, listen, then as we're there, we think of even more things. And once we're done and once we get it all off our chest, we're fine. All right, fine. And we still have our hand on the button and we're still transmitting and we've not listened once to the main tower. And I think tonight's message, if you hear one thing out of it, I think we have to get to the place where we remember to stop transmitting from here and let God speak. The reason we go to God in prayer is so that we can have life and direction. But we will not get that if we don't cultivate the skill and the art of listening. So how do we do that tonight? Well, I'm just going to ask the Lord. Heavenly Father, I want you to teach us tonight. I want you to show us through words and through images in our minds. I want you to lead us by your Holy Spirit into these things so that we might become better at hearing your voice and listening intently, diligently. Lord, I'm here and I want to hear you and I want to speak your words. I want everyone here to be able to hear your voice tonight, Lord. I want every young person to hear your voice tonight. Lord Jesus, we in this city need to hear your voice. So prepare us, do whatever is necessary, Lord. Let us hear. Praise you, Jesus. All this we ask in your name, Lord. Amen. Listening is a hard skill. It really is a hard skill, and it doesn't come naturally to us. As Christians, it doesn't come naturally to us to just pray. So when you first get saved, it's not like you've reached your peak in prayer. It's a skill. It really is a skill. And it takes time and effort, and it takes a commitment, and it takes a teacher. The Holy Spirit really is that teacher. If we're listening and if we're sensitive, I believe the Holy Spirit draws us deeper and deeper into a conversation with the Lord. And it demands sacrifice of time. It demands sacrifice in many levels of our life, but it's all very worth it. Why? Because of the life that we get in return. It's really true. The more you commune with the Lord, the more you look like Him and the more that things change. There was a comment made by like an old school smelter of precious metals. And they said, well, before they had all of the fancy things to be able to, you know, melt down metals and things, how did the old school dudes do it? And he said, well, when you're melting, say, silver, they said, you know that you're done melting it and smelting it and getting impurities out because you can look in to the silver and if there is an undistorted reflection of your face, if it's perfectly clear, you know there's no impurities in the silver. And I thought, well, that is a really cool analogy for what the Lord does as He teaches us. Because as we change from glory to glory, spending time with the Lord in communion and in prayer, I believe that is the equivalent. He's melting us. He's doing something in us that more and more it gets to the point, hopefully, where He looks into us and sees a reflection that's less and less distorted by the carnal thinking of this world and our flesh and all that other stuff. And I just love that. I love that. And He really is the refiner, and He really is changing us. I think that's the takeaway for prayer. I don't know about you, but on just a personal note, it both scares me and it also excites me to know that that's God's agenda in knowing Him. I want it as much as I'm afraid of it. Because I don't know where it leads. I just know it leads to a good place. But I'm a very big chicken when it comes to the unknown. I kind of want to know the unknown and then just keep it labeled unknown and have the confidence. But it doesn't work like that. It's still unknown. So where God leads is only in His heart and mind. And I think you'd see that reflected in Isaiah 55 because there's a section of Scripture where it says in verse 8, He says, hey, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Isn't it interesting if we go to listen to the Lord, what we're going to hear is something you haven't heard before? What He's going to do and take you to and where He's going to lead you is probably some place you wouldn't take yourself or you wouldn't think yourself into. It'd be something that God alone would think of and do. He might use the same words, but He'll do something totally different with it. Kind of like me in the kitchen. I have the same ingredients that, say, Kathy has, but what Kathy does with those ingredients is far better than what I do with them. I don't know why, and God is the same way. He'll take the same familiar words that I pray or talk all the time, but when He speaks them back and I hear them, it just takes me places I would have never thought of. And so It's a skill and it's something that we must practice. So how do we start this? Here's what we practiced earlier tonight. I did this very intentionally because I feel like we have to push ourselves. You almost, as a teacher, have you ever noticed this? Teachers usually tend to emphasize things to a little bit of an extreme to make emphasis in a point. You don't necessarily live in that. Thank God you don't live in that test moment where everything is so heightened, but it comes back to a normal, you know. Well, you know, when you go home, what we practice tonight, and I push the envelopes a little. I don't know how it makes some of you feel or if it just feels weird the minute you get told what to do in worship. I don't know if you're like some, whenever you get told to do anything in worship, some people just go, well, it's not the same. I should be thinking this myself. Just the fact you're telling me it's probably not genuine. You know, I'm going to raise it anyway because I don't want to look like a rebel. My heart's not in it, though. I mean, I kind of mean it, but it's not really in it, you know. And just repeating it, Pastor Ben, is not going to make it mean more. You know, things like that. You know, there's times where you have to push the envelope as a teacher because you don't do that at home. And kids don't do that at home. Where do we push the envelopes in our education? It's actually the opposite of what Matthew would say. We're not excellent at what is good and innocent of evil. We're actually excellent at evil and we're innocent of good. Let's change it for another I word, ignorant of good. We just don't know what we should know when it comes to the good of the Lord. Why? No one's pushing us and testing us and challenging us. We have bought the lie that you will grow in God through a course of ease and comfort. Follow what feels good and comfortable and is sweet to you, the whole process. That's not the Via Dolorosa. That's not the process God trains and teaches. It's just like everything else that's worthwhile in life. It takes hard work, and it'll feel like it'll kick your butt some days. But you've got to press in and learn. So when it comes to what we did tonight, here's what I'd love to see. This is our core. I'd love for us to push the envelope as a church when it comes to praise and worship. Why? Because if we're going to hear the voice of the Lord, we have to be better at pouring out. God is not in the habit of wasting anything. And if we're a Dead Sea, in other words, if we expect Him to just pour in and we're not pouring out, He is not going to do that. He wants you to participate in the conversation. There has to be a dialogue, and that dialogue, He's already done everything. So now He's waiting for us to take a step and draw near. And so when it comes to listening, it sounds counterproductive because I'm talking about listening, but you start the listening process by pouring out your words. We have to praise and pour out our words. And here's how I can say this. Turn to Psalms 29. This is such a good Psalms for hearing this. I had a little hallelujah fit in my office when I was reading this Psalms again. It just was, by this point in study, and I was so excited about praise and pouring out to the Lord, I couldn't hardly take it. In Psalms 29, it says, give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. What are we giving unto the Lord? Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Remember, we talked about glory one of those other nights. Insert all of that concept of what glory means. Give unto the Lord glory, do His name. Who was here when we talked about glory and that? Good. Yes, we did. So now what is it that He's really saying? Recall some of that message. What is the psalmist saying for the mighty ones to be doing right now? Give glory, do His name. What are we supposed to give Him? We should give Him the fruit of our lips or whatever it is that we do, things that increase His weight and value and worth. His esteem in the eyes of the called out ones. That's why praises and testimonies are important. Why? Because it increases the glory. It increases the weight. And so when we come together, the mighty ones of God, those that want to be strong, valiant men and women of God. You want to be stronger in the Lord? I want to be stronger in the Lord. Well, what do people who want to be stronger in the Lord do? Raise your voice and make God's esteem even greater. Start proclaiming Him. Talk about Him. Talk Him up. Give Him a good sales pitch. You just begin to proclaim His name and everything about Him. You begin to make a laundry list of everything that you can think of that He's worth praise for. It's amazing what happens when mighty people of God begin to just magnify God. He becomes bigger. And what does a big God do? Big things. That's right. Big God does big things. And I love this. And now, after this prelude, this prelude of mighty people, it says, worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Ascribe to Him worth in His holiness, His uniqueness, His set apartness. And then this is exactly what the psalmist says. For the voice of the Lord is over the waters. Oh, I just love this. Oh, praise You, Jesus. You know the other imagery that the scripture uses when the voice of the Lord is over the waters? Is that creation? Spirit of the Lord hovering over the darkness and the void. You know, at other times when the Spirit of the Lord speaks and it hovers over things, it overshadows people throughout the Old Testament. New Testament, you see it in Mary's life. The Word of the Lord came, overshadowed her. The Word of the Lord, whenever it comes out, it's amazing what it does. It really is mighty. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Verse 5 says, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like calves. Oh man, I just love this. Verse 7 says, the voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. Verse 8 says, the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. It even strips the forest bare. And in His temple, everyone says, glory. Look at that. The context of this is so rich and deep. When mighty men and women of God begin to ascribe and pour out to God all that He is worth and what He is and what He does, it stirs something up. I know there's probably a scientific word that describes what siphoning does, but whenever you've tried to siphon stuff and you put in that reverse pressure, And then the weight of the water or the fluid that's coming out of the hose begins to draw more. You following the science there, the loose little hick science description I just gave? That's the process that I'm imagining as we come into the presence of the Lord. It's like you and I prime the pump, you siphon a little bit of that hose, you get the pressure going by expelling praise, and then you just stand back and let the Holy Spirit water flow. And that's the image that should be rolling around in our brains when we come into that time to hear the voice of the Lord and to worship God. And this can happen in your own private prayer times. It was amazing. This morning, I was home with one kid because she couldn't go to school yet. And so I said, well, I got 30 minutes before I need to do some stuff. Maybe I'll go down and just kind of clean up in my basement. And I was kind of pouting, like, I don't want to work on my basement today. I'd rather be at the church right now and doing this and this. And I had this whole list. Then I went down there and something began to well up inside of me. And I began to feel and then the next thing I know, tears started coming. And I'm just starting to sing out in the Spirit. I'm beginning to pray. And then something else just started to grow. And it was like the momentum started to grow. And next thing you know, I'm just walking all around my basement. Who cares if I'm cleaning or doing it? Everything else worked. And I'm just praying. I'm just fellowshipping with the Lord. And then I thought, well, I down in the basement, I really didn't do any work, but I'm dirty now. So now I'm going to jump in the shower. And then I just went up in the shower. I didn't even do any work. And then I'm praying in tongues in the shower. And then the water's flooding. And I'm just sitting there like, man, this is like I went to a vacation retreat with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's just wonderful. And you know, there are times where you can get this process just going anywhere, anywhere, in the car, at work, when you're by yourself, when you're at home alone or whatever it is, but you better make that a custom. If you want to hear the voice of the Lord, you got to at least get to that, but you're not done yet. That's just the portion. Sometimes that's the hardest part, though. It's the hardest part, like for working out. Well, maybe for me. It's the hardest part working out for me is getting there. That could be the hard. Jeff just looked at Debbie. And Debbie just looked at an imaginary friend. See? So, I don't know. But sometimes that's the hardest part, is just getting going. And that's why, as a dad, I'll walk into the room, and the thing you're going to hear almost every single morning, flip the light on. If it's been just a minute too late, I'll flip the light on, and I'll say, yep, get out of bed. And I'm not kind. I'm not like, Jesus wants you out of the bed so you can start your lovely day. I'm like, get your lazy butt out of bed. Get up. Stop. Don't whine. You know, and those are all the things. I'm like, knock it off. If you're not in that shower in 2 minutes, I'm going to come in and put you in the shower. I mean, I do stuff like that. And then it's like, okay, Dad, okay, Dad. And I'm like, that's right. And I'm telling you, I'm like that. Why? Because I know the hardest step is the first one. And if you've ever noticed, often the hardest step in a worship service is that first song. Or it's in you, two or three songs in, and you still haven't just started worshiping God. Maybe because the first song didn't tickle your fancy. I don't know. Or maybe because the first step of pouring out is always seems to be the hardest. So you have to get your game face on and say, all right, we're going to talk to God and I'm going to listen, because that's the goal, but it's going to start by me pouring out. If I don't pour out and get that going, I will probably not hear the voice of the Lord tonight. So that's step one, pour out. Psalm 68, 32 through 33 says basically how mighty God's voice is. And we'll just leave it at that, because his voice is so mighty. Now, after we've poured out, we get to a part where we're practice. And this one it's kind of vulnerable, but I'm going to describe it as just maintaining openness. Maintaining an openness. Once you pour out, how are you hearing God? You have to maintain an openness. Now, when I say maintaining an openness, go back to the story with the pilot. If you're only pouring out, but you don't get to the place where then you let the praise smolder and incense and burn and fumigate the room, so to speak, if you don't get to the place where you take your ear off the talk button, you will not begin to hear what the Lord wants you to hear. Now, here's the test in the being open. Being open is not the end goal. It's the middle. And for most people who are go-getters, they want to skip to the main meat. I.e., I know the middle part. The middle part is just the middle part, and like everything, I read the first sentence of the paragraph, and I get to the end, and then I read it, and I get the summary of it. God does not work that way. He just doesn't. Why? He's the smelter of our hearts, remember? And so there is a point to this open waiting that is so important. Why? Because every single one of us in this room struggles with anxious thoughts, and we're too busy to just still our hearts and be quiet before the Lord. Why? Because the enemy of our soul has made it his goal to rob and steal the peace and the life of God. And so every single thing in this old world it's almost like a basement. You dig a hole, nature wants to fill it with water. And we live in a world where Satan and all of this carnal junk wants to fill the openness with anxious thoughts and all kinds of things to distract and steal, just make it harder for you to receive the word of the Lord. So being open is an active state of waiting. It's very similar to at a track meet when you see the runners hit the blocks and then they raise, you know, ready, set. And then right before the gun goes off, if you're to look at those good runners, you'll see that every muscle, every intention is ready to just jump in a split second. Why? They are completely still, but they are not asleep and they're not disengaged. They're crazy focused. And they're probably at the peak of their focus. Why? They're waiting for the word. Go! And that's what we have to be. We have to get to the place, and this is how I know that I've reached it. When I've reached the place of being open, I've got past myself. See, you are not to the place of being empty and open. Think of your vessel. You are a vessel meant to cherish and carry the words of God. But throughout your day, you fill it up with you and your life or whatever else, or the news, I don't know, or good stuff like golf and t-shirts. No, that's easy. And then when it comes to the Lord, you got all this stuff in your vessel. So what do? Well, you got to pour that out. But sometimes that takes a long time to get out. So you got to get it out. Get it out as you're praising the Lord. Don't turn it into a wah-wah session. Turn it into a praise God for it. You can flip that stuff around and look at it in an optimistic way. So if the thing you've been filled up with is your worries over finances, well, don't just talk about them in the same way you've been worried about them. Praise the Lord about his provision. Spin it around. Say, you know what, Lord, I just thank you. I haven't got two pennies to rub together, but at least you made two pennies. And you make pennies. You can make lots and lots of pennies, and I really hope you do. And you just begin. But it's just amazing how you turn it into praise and you turn it into an affirming way of saying something about the Lord, and it begins to prime the pump. But you know you've reached a place of you have emptied it all out because you don't have anything else to say. It's kind of like you guys got to, now what? Don't skip past that. Because now you have actually got to the place where you've finally poured it out. So what do? Now you smolder. You smolder the incense of God. Now you don't go back to the things that drove you to need the voice of the Lord. Now you ponder and chew the presence of the Lord. You begin to meditate on the Lord, and you must be active in it, because if you get idle in it, you go right back to where you came from. You've got to keep that tension in the sense of focus and perspective, because that's how you stay open. But you don't go beyond it. Because you don't know where you're going yet. You just stay. You stay. You wait. And you repeat. You just keep mulling it over. What are you repeating? You're mulling over Jesus. You're mulling over the good things of the Lord. You're worshiping the Lord. You're thinking about the Lord. You pray in the Spirit. Sometimes you just meditate. And you just think on the Lord. This is how you maintain that openness. And it takes practice. It takes focus. Did you notice in church, even tonight, many of you start to just say, let's just do this. It gets to the point they get tired of doing one thing, and now they go, okay, let's move on to something else. Why? Because we've taught ourselves to not feel comfortable unless we have diversions and distractions. Why? Because it's in the emptiness that we feel vulnerable, and that's a small degree of pain that we will avoid at all costs. When we're open, when we're vulnerable, you feel naked, you feel very exposed to the presence of the Lord. You just let everything out. And it's uncomfortable unless you see the redemptiveness in it. And so in your prayer times, you get to that place where you pour it all out. Don't get uncomfortable. Don't let yourself be uncomfortable. Just enjoy it. Oh, you know everything, Lord. I don't know anything yet. I just love you, Lord. I love you. Now, how long does it last? How long does that go for? As long as it takes. as long as it takes. And there is nothing wrong with it taking hours, days, weeks. There are seasons of waiting. We start out with hours of waiting or minutes of waiting, but there are seasons of waiting. And I have witnessed many Christians get tired of the waiting and they get their Ishmaels instead. They get anxious. Why? Because waiting is work. And they don't want to wait anymore. And so before the Lord has spoken, before that mighty voice has come through and broke through the clouds and done what only it can do, it alone can break cedars. But if you get tired waiting because it's not happened on your timeline or in the way we think, then you get Ishmaels and everything goes crazy. Does God still love you? Yes, he does. Did he answer your prayer in a sort of kind of weird, funky, wagnal way? Yes. What will be the result? You're going to have mixed joy. Look, I got a son. And now I got to kick him and his mama out and still raise the blessing. And now we have two different races of people and they're not going to like each other. And that's going to go on for generations and generations. And that's all my fault. And that's because we just didn't wait. And so, so the last thing that we do then is when the voice of the Lord does come, I just love this. Okay, I'll touch on, before the voice of the Lord comes, this is so good. Pastor Ben, how come, I just have to eat some cake now. How come I was going to skip this and you would have missed it. You'd have missed out on a blessing. Whenever we're in waiting, this is a word picture I want you to hold on to because it'll give you hope in waiting. One of the things that I have discovered is so important in the time of waiting is focus. And not meaning focus in the sense of intention. I mean focus in the sense of blurred to clarity. Because in the time of waiting, God brings refining of what? He brings clarity and he's preparing you so that when he does speak, you will perceive it. And if he's not preparing you to perceive it, he's preparing someone else to receive it. But one way or the other, he's preparing you or someone else for what is about to be spoken. This is so good. If he doesn't do this, and if he spoke it, you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't see it. You wouldn't even be able to understand it or comprehend it. And if it's something that is supposed to be spoken for someone else, say a kid or a family or someone in the church or something like that, if there hasn't been the appropriate amount of waiting so that God can refine and clarify, it's still blurry, they will not be able to perceive it. I'm not making this stuff up. This is good. In 1 Corinthians 14:21, it says very clearly that even in an environment of heightened spiritual movement, in that Corinthian church, as the gifts were working in crazy ways, there were people who, even when the prophecies came forth and the words of tongues were being spoken and all these different things were happening, they did not perceive it. Why? No waiting. There was no preparation and clarifying so that when God did speak, they could hear it. So, have you ever wondered why some people seem to hear the voice of the Lord and they know it? Boom. They just know it. And they can do things and they can respond and make decisions based on the voice of the Lord. And it just seems like almost with sniper accuracy. Why? I bet that's an individual that has learned a level of waiting in that openness with the Lord so that they have cultivated an ability to perceive the Spirit and the speaking of God. If they don't cultivate that, then it's almost like God has to shout louder and louder through circumstances and affirmations and confirmations and things like that. Why? Because we're that obtuse. We're just not hearing it. We're close, but he has to speak in grenades instead of notes. And that's not all good. You know what I mean? I'd much rather have the Lord just kind of slip me a note instead of, hey, psst, boom, yes, what? Finally. And I think they did not perceive it in the Corinthian church. Whoa, that's good stuff. So that's what I wanted to give to you. In that waiting, it's, do you perceive? How's your perception? All right, so we pour out, we wait before the Lord because we want to be able to perceive the voice of the Lord. We pour out, we stir up those heavenly waters in that voice of the Lord, and then we wait so that we can perceive. We wait so that we can perceive. And then as the Lord is discerned, you hear the voice of the Lord being spoke in your midst or in your prayer times, all of that. Romans 10:17, Hebrews 4:2 lays this groundwork. Have faith, and you've got to mix whatever you hear with action. There has to be a response that is a step of faith in you. There has to be a response to it. I like to think of it as that next understanding of hearing. Hearing also means doing. There's a response. It's like the parent who says, you know, hey, do blah, 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 blah to the kid. And then 20 minutes later, an hour later, you come back and you're like, your room isn't clean. Didn't you hear me? Oh, yeah, I heard you. No, you didn't hear me. I told you to do it. Yeah, I heard you. But you didn't do it. So the definition of hearing it is doing it. Oh, that's good. That's good, says Yoda. and so when it comes to Christians, we have a lot of head knowledge and very little leg knowledge. We know an awful lot. We just don't do much with it. So are we hearing? We tell ourselves we are. I hear, I know what God says. I got the Bible. I know all of this. But if we're not doing it, he's going, you ain't heard nothing. You ain't doing nothing. Just do some. I told you 20 things. You got to do number two yet. Come on, do two. And it's just amazing. We've got to put it into action. So mix it with faith. So now here's the things that I, in summary, that I felt are practical. And when I say that hearing the voice of the Lord is, and listening to the voice of the Lord is kind of a skill and an art, and we just don't do it naturally, and we have to learn it. In real life conversation, I believe that there are bad habits in conversation that we have to break, and I don't believe they're isolated to just people conversations. I believe that they also go with God. So, if you bear with me, here's some of my favorites. My favorites are the dominating the conversation communicator. And I used to tell people, I say, hey, if you want to get someone talking, talk about their favorite subject. And they would say, well, what's their favorite subject? How do you know what their favorite subject is? Everybody has the same favorite subject, themselves. It is. Every single person has their favorite subject, themselves. And as long as you can get them talking about themselves, they will always be willing to talk about something. They may feel uncomfortable about it because they don't believe anybody else wants to care about them as much as they care about them. But the minute you convince them that you care about what they care about most, they won't stop talking about themselves. And at the end of the conversation, they may have never heard anything about you, but they'll leave it and they'll go, man, that person is just my best friend. I just really got along with him, and I just think that's so great. And why? They have no idea who you are. They just talked about themselves to you. And I believe that's a lot of what we do with God. And we really think he loves us because we've talked to him about us. And so in our praise, we have to resist that carnal temptation to make it all about us. It's not about us. So that's the one pet peeve. I think it translates to God and listening. And the next thing, this is one that I feel the pain already in my own ears. I already feel it because I know I'm so guilty of this one at home. between Petrae and I, my biggest communication fault is I know what she's thinking. And when she says it, I can say the last part of the sentence and finish it for her. I just know it. I know exactly what she's meaning before she even gets it out. And I don't want to wait till the end. I'll just tell her I already get it. And so she starts it. Honey, this is, and I go, yeah, I know. And then I just say what I believe the ending is. And I know I'm right. The problem with that is even if I'm right, I'm wrong. Because that's not the whole point of communicating. The point of communicating is going through the long conversation of hearing how it gets to the end. And that's how I communicate I care, which I obviously care so much. It's so challenging. But this is the goofy thing, is when we're talking to the Lord, especially the longer we walk with the Lord, we finish his thoughts before he even speaks them. We tell him what he's going to tell us before he gets a chance to even say it. Why? Well, we've already read it. We know the ending. We know what it is. If we were to do that to each other and that's the way we communicate, your wife's going to find another guy who's going to actually listen. Why? Because you're a jerk. And you got to learn to listen. And you know what? God doesn't take it lightly either. When every time we sit down in prayer and we say, Lord, and we pour out, and then we just wait. And then his still small voice begins to say, oh, I want to talk to you about this in Isaiah. And you go, oh, yeah, Isaiah. Oh, I love what Isaiah does, especially when he speaks here in Isaiah 58. Oh, this is so good. And he's going, I mean, yeah. And then, oh, turn over to verses. And he's going, never mind. And you almost feel the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit being grieved because we just don't let him talk. Because I believe we cut him off in speaking and we miss out on his thoughts and his ways of thinking. And every time I remind myself in the natural to give my wife the room to be my wife and just talk, you know, the goofy thing is I realize I didn't really know her like I thought I knew her. And then at the end of the conversation, many times I'll go, wow. She's smarter than what I just realized before the conversation, or she's more beautiful in a different way than I thought of, or she just said something that I think I needed to hear, and now I'm upset. And I just wasn't prepared for that. And so many thoughts that were not my own thoughts came into my mind. Why? Because I let her just talk and let God speak what God wants to speak. Don't finish his sentences for him. So I don't have anything else to say. So that's basically it. There you go. I guess if this encouraged you, my goal would be, I think my heart for a message like this is I would love to see us go further in our prayer. And I think sometimes it's discouraging in the learning process if you feel humbled to the point of broken spirit. But my prayer is in the learning how to pray, we don't get to the point of despair and just giving up. I would hope that the humility does what it's intended to do, soften so that you can learn a new way of praying. Not being beat up because you've been praying so long about the same stupid things, it's just not changing. Yeah, that's it. And then you just start changing other things. I don't want that. I want to let God do what only God can do. Soften the heart and teach. And I'll tell you, most of us in this room, you don't need another book. You don't need another minister, another something. You don't necessarily need any of those things. They're all good things. Those are all good crutches. But what we all need is we need to learn to listen to the voice of the Lord more. And if you're feeling humbled or frustrated, don't look for easy escapes. Look for the process that leads you to listening. And it's okay if it's uncomfortable, but listen. And don't rescue others. So like some of us, we got kids, you got kids, I got kids. Don't rescue your kids from the situations that are intended to teach them to listen to God. There are many times I've got great things to say to my kids, but some of those times the Holy Spirit will put a check in my heart and I know if I open my mouth, I'll be sinning because I'm not the one that should be saying it to them. God needs to. And the only way my kid's going to hear it is if they get into a closet alone with the Lord and they hear the voice of the Lord, and it will mean far more to that kid than if I tell them what they need to hear. And it's hard. As a parent, it's hard because then you have to watch a kid go through what you know it feels like. Humbling, frustrating, anxious, just so that they can learn for themselves how to hear the voice of the Lord. So don't rescue someone if they're in that ugly spot of learning the voice of the Lord. And I'll try not to rescue the church. Because I want the church to learn to listen to the voice of the Lord too. And so, because that's where the life is. Amen. Heavenly Father, I love you so much. And I thank you for how real your love is for everyone in this room. And I just pray your blessing on every family, every person here. And those who have sick family members, I pray for your healing touch right now. Lord God, come and minister to their bodies and restore total health and strength to their physical bodies that they might serve you for this season. Lord, I also ask your blessing on the younger kids and those with kids, the parents. I ask your blessing on the whole families. And Lord, we as a church, we gather in your name to listen to your voice. And so we thank you so much for the blessing that comes because of that. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, be blessed. Wish the birthday girl a happy birthday again. And I see you on Easter Sunday.